Movies On Up, episode 62. It's the story of a man, a woman, and a rabbit in a triangle of trouble. In this scenario, I, of course, am the man, Ryan. So, Dave, I will leave you to pick between the woman and the rabbit.
I'm into some furry type stuff, so I'll take the rabbit.
I'm glad you didn't say the woman, because that would have just been weird on an entirely different realm. But if you do know what we're talking about, because I'm sure most people are sitting there going, who's a rabbit? Who's a woman? What difference does it make?
We are off the rails already.
Yeah, what difference does it make? That is our tagline for this week. It's the story of a man, a woman, and a rabbit in a triangle of trouble. If you know what movie that comes from, send your best guess to us in an email, which you can do at moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.com/moviesonup. You can leave your answer with Dave via the Twitter @moviesonup. Or I'm sure you could probably put it somewhere on our website, which is moviesonup.com. If you get the answer correct, and if we choose you, you will have a prize package headed your way full of all sorts of Movies On Up goodness, which could include, but not limited to, a signed 8x10 of Dave Bissella, perhaps a picture ripped from a Clone Wars coloring book colored by myself, a veritable treasure trove of wonder.
Yep.
Thanks for adding, Dave.
You always get me when I'm in the middle of doing something.
I do. I try and talk long enough to see that you're not paying attention. You're doing something else, probably looking at box office numbers, and then I will end.
Yeah, and then I'm there.
And then I get, yeah. Were you looking at the box office numbers?
No, I was preparing something for the next episode.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense. But I'm sure you do have the box office numbers pulled up this week. And I would say this week... out of all the weeks we've done, at the very least in the summer, I would say this week we got it wrong. The most. The biggest.
This week made me angry.
Yes.
I expected Despicable Me to drop not that much. It came in number one again, which didn't surprise me.
It surprised me.
I kind of expected it to be number one again. $43.8 million. That's only a 47% drop, which that's a solid hold when you open to that much money. It's only been in the theater a couple of weeks, and it's at $228 million already on a $76 million budget. So that's a proven franchise. This is where I got angry. Number two with $41.5 million, Grown Ups 2.
Which made more money in the first 3 days than Grown Ups 1.
Yeah.
So that means that everybody from the first one came back to watch it. And more.
I was giving the human species credit, and I think I put over under like 25.
Yep.
Because I had faith in us.
And we both gleefully took the under.
To not do it. And they did it. And then something like Pacific Rim comes out, an original intellectual property, something that's not a sequel, not based on a book, not based on a video game, an original movie, $37.2 million. That's not a bad opening. Its budget's $190 million.
That makes it kind of a bomb, doesn't it?
No, it's not bomb yet. No, because it's going to hold well. Word of mouth, I think, is going to carry it. I still think this ends in the 140, 150 range. Just U.S. domestically. You know how much money this is going to make overseas?
Yeah.
This is not going to be a bomb.
I feel like...
Maybe U.S.-wise it'll look like it. It's going to make its money back. I think it's going to make enough to warrant a sequel.
Well, I mean, they've already kind of sort of greenlit the sequel. This was maybe like 3-4 weeks ago, long before, you know, the movie was actually released, there was a talk of a Pacific Rim 2. I think we talked about it on one of the news episodes. And usually when that happens, the box office responds with a good opening, and you kind of get that after the fact justification of the sequel. This time, that is not what happened at all. I mean, yes, it may make some money overseas, but after 1 week, finishing behind Grown Ups 2 in third place in your opening week, that's a problem.
Yeah, but I mean, 37.2 isn't terrible for a non-established property. You're going out there with the first thing, and the fans are loving it, critics are loving it. I think what this comes down to is I think it was marketed terribly wrong. I think TV spots turned a lot of people off. I think you have something good here because we did see it.
Yeah.
We both did.
It was good.
I liked it a lot. It's a good summer movie. Graham Elwood from Comedy Film Nerds podcast summed it up in a tweet perfectly. It's dumb fun, but not insultingly dumb. Because I think it's a fun movie, and it's a fun summer blockbuster, but there's just enough there to not make it a Michael Bay movie.
When you think of giant robots in the summer, you kind of do think Transformers. And you think Michael Bay. This could very easily be a Michael Bay movie. But there is a bit of a soul behind it. It's not just explosions.
There's a soul, and there's a world built. Like, he takes you into this world. Like, it's established right away. And he tries to build characters. And the acting is, I mean,
awful.
And Pacific Rim?
Yes, awful.
Not Idris Elba.
He's good. We'll talk about it later. But it's hard to either blame the actors. But my buddy Jack said, hey, I really liked that movie when they weren't talking. Dialogue was terrible. I would say almost everybody in that movie was atrocious.
See, I thought Idris Elba took it up a notch. I like him in anything.
Yes, but everyone else surrounding him, terrible.
I disagree. I thought they did what they needed to do. I thought they were fine.
The robots needed to punch, and the monsters needed to do whatever it is that bite.
I like Charlie Hunnam. I thought he was perfectly fine. Number four, The Heat, $14 million. It's over 100. It's $112 million now. Number five, The Lone Ranger. Now, that's a bomb. That dropped 61% in its second weekend to $11 million. So it's only sitting at 71. Chances of it getting 100 domestically are slim.
The drop for Grown Ups 2 next week, bigger or smaller than the drop for Lone Ranger this week?
It's going to be smaller, but I think it'll be high 50s. I think it'll be about that 58, 59 range. I think people...
7 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Here's 7%. The thing. Is you want to call Pacific Rim a bomb? You want to call... It will make more domestically than Grown Ups 2 will. It didn't make as much opening weekend. I think it's going to hold better, and I think it's going to be around longer.
I feel like it'll hold better, yeah, but it's just...
I think the people that wanted to see Grown Ups 2, I think there's $41 million worth of people that really, really want to see Grown Ups 2, and they went. I think there's a lot more people that want to see Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim, I know a lot of people are seeing 2-3 times. Because they like it so much. So I think...
I might go back.
In the long run, Pacific Rim's going to make more money. I think it can still end in that 150 range. And if it gets to that 150 range, that's enough money to do a sequel.
If it makes 150 domestically, yeah, you would think that it's going to make, would you say, like the other 48 up over...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it'll make more domestically, sure, overseas. So World War Z in at number 7. Well, Monsters U in at 6 with $10 million. So your top 6 movies, $10 million plus each. Monsters U, though, it's interesting. It's been out 4 weeks, $237 million compared to Despicable Me's $228 after just 2 weeks. So Despicable Me is going to pass that one up. World War Z, $176 million, $9 million at 7. White House Down continues to fall. It's only at $62 million in eighth place. Kevin Hart holding strong, $4.7 million for $26 million total. And then Man of Steel in 10th place with another $4.7 million, sitting at $280 million. So there's talk of it maybe getting to $300. Not looking as good now, but there's still a chance.
Before we move on, there were a couple things that I wanted to wrap with you about. One is your stated hatred of 3D. We had to see Pacific Rim in 3D just because of the time. I wanted to ask you, did you hate it in 3D?
I do hate 3D, but I had to see Star Trek for the same reason. Like, it was a timing thing. Like, I don't get to go to the movies, and it's always last second. So I had to see Star Trek in 3D. I didn't think 3D took away from it. Pacific Rim, I don't think it took away from it. I don't know that added anything.
Well, that's kind of what I wanted to ask. I actually thought some of the 3D was pretty good in Pacific Rim. It's not the best I'd seen, but it also wasn't a complete waste. There were a few movies that I've seen that it has been a complete waste. But, I mean, I thought for the most part, Pacific Rim in 3D looked pretty neat.
I mean, that's about the nicest you'll get from me in 3D is that it didn't take away from it.
And that's why I wanted to ask, because yeah. I knew, like, boy, this is one of the better examples I can think of, so I wanted to see what you would say about it.
If I go back to see it again, I'm going to try to do 2D.
Well,
I don't need to see...
Much cheaper, this, especially on the second time.
Yeah, like, I don't care about that, but I
care about that.
I don't know that it added anything. I don't think I didn't like the movie anymore because I saw it in 3D.
No, I guess I didn't either, but at the same time, I thought, boy, these are pretty nice visuals. I don't know what the second thing I wanted to ask you was. I think it was Pacific Rim related.
I thought the acting was fine.
It wasn't about the acting. It wasn't about the acting at all. Avengers, Spider-Man, and Wolverine assemble. That is, of course, if Jackman has anything to say about it. While doing press for the Wolverine, Hugh Jackman was asked by Collider what it would take to get Wolverine, Spider-Man, and the Avengers all together for one big old movie. Jackman loves the idea, so much so that he's already asked the folks at Marvel to just go ahead and get working on that, get all the studios together, make it happen. And his idea is, well, you know, it's three studios, just split everything three ways between Disney, Fox, and Sony, and that'll be it, right? It's just that simple.
Yeah. No.
No, it's not.
Let's compare the amount of money Marvel's making on their properties compared to the other two. I don't want this to happen. Like,
no?
I don't care how easy they could be. I don't even want Spider-Man in an Avengers movie. Like, there was talk of them maybe working out a deal to make that happen. I don't want, especially the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, I don't want him in the Avengers because I like the Avengers movie.
You wouldn't like to see Joss Whedon be able to get a hold of Spider-Man and Wolverine?
I wouldn't mind him getting a hold of Spider-Man. I don't want him getting a hold of Mark Webb's Spider-Man. Or, you know, of Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man.
If I mean, it would have to be.
Yeah, so I don't want it. But if it's something happened and it's like, hey, Joss, let's make a Spider-Man movie, start from scratch, I'm into that. Him taking this? No, I don't want it. I don't want it.
I think it'd be awesome. I like Spider-Man. I like Wolverine. I mean, I've seen the Spider-Man movies. I'll see the next one. I just saw some photos of Jamie Foxx's Electro. I think they look pretty rad. I'm excited to see the Wolverine. I'd watch that. It'd be great. There's no way, though.
No, but that's the thing. It's like,
why would the Avengers say, come on down? They made $400 million without Wolverine. You would, like, as Sony or as Fox, you would have to really, really get on your knees.
Yeah.
To,
and you're
to
not have, getting a third of what's made.
Oh, God, no.
But here's the thing. Is like, Wolverine looks good. I like the X-Men movies, with the exception of the first Wolverine and the third one. But I don't need them mixed. I like Gremlins and I like RoboCop. I don't want to see Gremlins versus RoboCop. Maybe.
In the source material, though, like, never those two worlds should be. But it makes sense to have Wolverine in an Avengers. He's an Avenger.
Everybody's an Avenger at some point.
At some point, sure, but it's not.
I would rather see Ant-Man explored. Doctor Strange,
sure,
I'm
fine.
Not super nuts into, but I'd rather see him explored. Or anybody. Like, I'd rather see more built than combine what we already have.
All right, well, if you don't want to see Wolverine in the Avengers, how about this? Fox saying, well, we can make a pretty kick-ass superhero team, too. Kick-Ass 2 director Jeff Wadlow is writing an adaptation of X-Force, which has been confirmed by the creator of the comic, Rob Liefeld. Development apparently began in March, with the green light coming just recently. What the hell is an X-Force, you may ask? It originally contained Boom Boom, whatever that is, Cable, Cannonball, Domino, Feral, Shutterstar, and Warpath. More recent incarnations have featured the likes of Archangel, Psylocke, Colossus, Deadpool, and the aforementioned Wolverine. I'm sure we're going to hear about this more at Comic-Con. Hopefully they'll actually announce the lineup for this particular movie, but would a Wolverine in X-Force, would you be more open to that?
No.
No?
No.
Why do you hate Wolverine? Do you just hate Canadians?
I just want Wolverine to be Wolverine.
Like, he is in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Then keep that going. I don't even want him in Days of Future Past. I hated him in First Class.
That was, like, a good cameo.
I didn't like it. I thought it ruined a lot of good things about that movie. Just, I don't want him in Days of Future Past. Just make Wolverine. Make Wolverine 2. Make Wolverine movies. I don't want to see him pop up in everything.
You know, it's been a while since I've read Days of Future Past, but wasn't he pretty key to that story?
I don't care. I just have so much issues with that whole process that's going on. But Deadpool will be in it. They'll use Deadpool. And what I think they want to do is use
Spin
the Ryan Reynolds Deadpool. I'd rather just see a Deadpool movie.
I mean, that's...
I want to forget that Origins ever happened and start from scratch with a Deadpool movie. Instead of wasting him in X-Force.
Is it wasting him in X-Force if you then spin it off to a Deadpool movie?
Was it wasting him in Wolverine if the plan was to spin him off into a Deadpool movie that we still haven't got yet?
At least, like, I think the first half of the Deadpool storyline was kind of fun. I mean, where it ended, okay. Yeah, I don't think I need that. But
I just, this screams like Fox thinking like, oh, Marvel's doing Guardians of the Galaxy. We can make this work. Because it's a lesser known team. Although X-Force, I would think, has a little, like people, a lot of, Cable is fairly, you know, some of these
Cable,
names,
Colossus.
Some of these names are more known than Guardians of the Galaxy, but it's a lesser known team. And how do you make it without just people thinking it's X-Men?
And that's where you're going to struggle if you do, you know, have most of the ones that I knew, Cable, Archangel, Psylocke, Colossus, Wolverine, those are X-Men. But, you know, I think if you bring, especially if you bring Wolverine, at least for, you know, if you do multiple, if you bring him for the first one, you know, that will bring your casual fan in. And then, you know, maybe he's not as involved if there is an X-Force sequel. Maybe he won't be involved at all. I just find it interesting that as soon as they ask Jackman about the possibility of Wolverine being in kind of a big team up, then it kind of slips out that Sony's sort of working on that anyway. Something else that, you know, had been kind of mentioned and now all of a sudden is pretty much set in stone. No blog post needed. Sam Mendes will return in 2015. After having pitched Nikki Winding Refn, Chris Nolan, Ang Lee, Shane Black, and Tom Hooper, Mendes is the man. He will come back to direct the Skyfall sequel, which will be written by the writer of Skyfall, John Logan. For a November 6, 2015 release, some reports saying that it might be a two-picture deal, which is kind of what had been speculated, that if Mendes were to come back, he would want to do a trilogy and kind of just wrap up the Daniel Craig arc as Bond, but not 100% sure if it's two or just one. But either way, Bond 24 has got its man.
I think he's got to do 24 and 25. I think Sam Mendes thinks big enough. Because Craig is on for 24, 25. Skyfall was the biggest one in the history of the franchise.
In the modern, yeah.
So, you know, you're going to follow that up. And as long as you don't Quantum of Solace it, you should be able to bounce off of that. And then the one after that, if you're coming off of two hits, it's the 25th one and Daniel Craig's last one. So that'll already have a lot of hype that they almost are better off if they plan the next two together and do them in 15 and 17 instead of 15 and 18 or 19.
And that's something you could almost see happening. Like, it feels like there was a skeleton of a plan in place anyway to have Mendes come back. And that's, you know, the two-picture deal is kind of where that came into. So maybe it was just, if Mendes comes back, here's the plan for the next two. These are what he'll do. And maybe Broccoli and forget who the other producer is, but they got together and said, okay, fine, we'll take the Mendes plan, we'll take, you know, the idea of these next two working real closely together with Skyfall, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know?
And that's where I'm interested, is after 25, you're going to bring in a new director. A new Bond and a new director, and I'm wondering if they're going to take that approach to where this director is going to come on and the plan is to do two or three with this director. Because if it works with Mendes, why wouldn't you keep that mentality?
Because, I mean, really, for the first, geez, like if this is 24, I mean, 20, I would say conservatively 21 out of the previous 23, they weren't sequels.
No, and I realize that. So I realize that. But if this
is rare.
If Skyfall and the next two are the three biggest earning ones, do you deviate from that? Or do you say, hey, you know, we're going to get a director in and do a two or three picture plan? They may not be sequels, but they're going to be maybe an ongoing arc that, you know.
Well, I mean, yeah, there could be, like, if, you know, there was another big, because that's what Quantum of Solace was supposed to be. It was supposed to be some kind of larger criminal Legion of Doom, essentially. It never materialized that way, but it could be, it was Hydra, or no, who the hell was it? Spectre. It was Spectre that were, like, the bad dudes in the original ones. Blofeld, Dr. No, they were all Spectre guys. If they could do something like that, yeah, I'd be into it. But I don't know that I want to see direct sequels become the norm for
Bond.
And
I don't mean that. So I just mean get a couple that feel the same. get, you know, bring Christopher Nolan on for 26, 27 so that those two have the same feel, even if they're not direct sequels. But
bring Nikki Winding Refn and give me Gosling so we can have an American Bond.
Yeah. Who the next Bond will be would be interesting.
Jai Courtney.
Hugh Dancy.
Yeah, I bet. Maybe it'll be Johnny Depp. It is Johnny Depp's Mad, Mad World, and we're all just living in it. Disney in final talks with the Lone Ranger star to return as the Mad Hatter in James Bobbin's Into the Looking Glass. Mia Wasikowska already on board. It's good to see that Disney apparently isn't too upset at Johnny Depp for ruining the Lone Ranger. I'm not sure if it's his fault, but they didn't really wait too long to get him involved in another project.
Johnny Depp, he's not going to be touched by Lone Ranger. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't touched by Dark Shadows. He's going to make money occasionally, and he's already got Pirates 5 with Disney next summer. Or I think that's 2015, not next summer, the one after.
It's the summer with everything.
Yeah, so he's not going to walk away from Lone Ranger scathed at all. He's going to walk away with his scalp. But did anybody like this movie? Like, it made good money.
The Lone Ranger or Alice in Wonderland?
Alice in Wonderland.
I just, on principle, don't really see Johnny Depp movies. I didn't bend for Lone Ranger.
I like Johnny Depp, but he doesn't. It's been a while since he's made movies that look like care about him.
When do you like Johnny Depp?
I like Benny and June, What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Well, that's what I mean.
21 Jump Street. Like
that, really?
I love the show. Love 21 Jump Street.
I thought you were talking about the movie. I was going to say, I'm not going to call that a Johnny Depp movie.
No, it was. Although, if he did make a cameo in it, it was fantastic.
Understand. But what I'm saying is it's been years. I mean, I liked Edward Scissorhands, too. But, I mean, it's been years since Johnny Depp's really done stuff on a consistent basis, which I have liked. A lot of people liked the early Pirates movies. Maybe they liked the old one or the later ones, too. I don't know. But I've had no use for him for like 20 years.
I'm IMDb-ing it right now, and we're going to go back and see the last movie that I care about of Johnny Depp.
Okay.
Fear and Loathing.
What year was that?
97, 98, I think.
Yeah, all right.
That's actually, I liked Finding Neverland in 2004, but I'm a big Peter Pan fanboy, so that might have something.
Didn't care for it.
From Hell was okay. I liked From Hell and I liked Blow.
Blow was good.
Those were like the only two back-to-back ones in a long time.
And what was that, like 90?
Those were both 2001.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Astronaut's Wife in 99.
Nope.
Donnie Brasco, 97.
Yeah.
Don Juan DeMarco, Ed Wood, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, Benny and June, all in a row.
That was a good stretch.
Yeah. So 20 years ago, he had a really good...
He had a good run and then has just become a movie star.
Yeah. I haven't liked him consistently in 20 years.
Yeah, that's fine. I guess we're on the same page on that. Next on Aubrey Plaza's to-do list, Death. Production underway for Life After Beth, where Plaza's death can't stop her from getting some of Dane DeHaan. Jeff Bania, a co-writer of I Heart Huckabees, will direct. Also on board, John C. Reilly will play Plaza's dad, and Paul Reiser as Dwayne the Rock DeHaan's father.
We said with when Warm Bodies made some money, that could kick off like the Zomcom phase, which there's been like low budget B movie Zomcoms for a while, but they've never really hit the mainstream. It seems like something that could start now because a lot of it'll depend on to-do list, but DeHaan's getting some star power. Aubrey Plaza is hopefully going to have some star power after this, so it could be a thing.
I think it will be a thing. Warm Bodies is obviously the first one that comes to mind because that was a Zomcom not too long ago. I think it was like March when that came out?
February.
Valentine's Day, sure. But I think this one will be maybe less action-y and more like the indie.
More like My Boyfriend's Back.
Yeah, I think it'll be more akin to some of that, the B stuff that we had seen earlier, but no one else had seen. So this will, I think you're right. I think, we've seen enough teen romances with vampires. Why not bring zombies into it as well?
I think Aubrey Plaza will be a good zombie.
Sometimes I think she may actually already be dead. but I like her nonetheless. Speaking of things that are dead and reanimated, that'll transition us nicely into our trailers, where our first trailer is for a World War II film. I'm guessing this is based off a true story. It is about a group of Soviet soldiers who stumble upon some sort of experimental Nazi project run by Dr. Frankenstein. Frankenstein's Army, the name of the movie. Apparently, this is kind of the last-ditch effort for the Third Reich, is to stitch dead soldiers back together and make them half-man, half-machine. I don't know. They look kind of cool, though.
And it's cool. It's like, it's one of those that I like the idea more than I like the trailer. The idea is cool. Like, it's essentially a zombie movie, but instead of zombies, they're just a bunch of little Frankensteins, which... And there's some different ones. It looks more like a video game trailer than an actual movie.
They remind me of like Castle Wolfenstein. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like the idea of it. It doesn't look executed very well, but I'll try it.
I will say this. It does, believe it or not, look less silly than kind of the rash of recent Nazi movies that have come out. Like Iron Sky pops to mind. There was one where there were zombies in
Dead,
the center of the
snow.
Earth.
Snow.
Yeah.
Was that the name of it?
That was the name of it. But I thought that one was good.
It was good. It was really good.
Maybe more on that later. Who knows? And I do like the idea of the Frankenstein tie-in there. Normally, I probably wouldn't like something like that. But what the hell? Everybody knows Dr. Frankenstein. Why couldn't he have been a Nazi or a descendant of Dr. Frankenstein? I think that's just kind of a neat touch. Diametrically opposed to Nazi zombie movie. Is Mandela's Long Walk to Freedom. And this is where I was going to get on the soapbox and say how good Idris Elba is as an actor. He's phenomenal.
He's an amazing actor. And I know this is a movie show, but if you have not watched Luther, the BBC series, watch it. He is amazing on that show. It's so good.
Or you could just watch The Wire.
Or Pacific Rim.
Yeah, I think his work on Luther, The Wire, and Pacific Rim are all about
Prometheus.
The same. Hopefully, Mandela's end in Long Walk to Freedom will not go the same way that his character in Prometheus and Pacific Rim went. Spoiler alert.
The trailer didn't show much. It's just Idris Elba giving a speech as Mandela.
Yeah, you don't really see too much. I guess it doesn't matter.
But you know what? Idris Elba is one of those that at this point, like, I'm on board.
Like, I'm glad that this will be able to showcase him to American like movie audiences. I think a lot of people probably have seen him in The Wire. You know, people have seen him in Pacific Rim, at least you and I have, in Prometheus. But this is his movie.
Yeah.
And this is him going to be able to act. So I'm very excited that
he was approached about Bond before Daniel Craig was.
Really?
Yes.
That would have been interesting.
And there's talk of him being the next one after Craig. And he was asked about it. And he said, we had meetings before Craig got the job, but the scheduling didn't work out.
Huh. I'd be okay with that.
He'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But then I think, why not just create a new spy series and build it around Idris Elba? Because he would be awesome.
Well, maybe because he's like an English dude. And if you think English spy, you're going to think James Bond. So then it becomes a Bond knockoff, you know?
Yeah. He's good. I'd watch him in anything.
He's good. Watch him in Mandela. Watch Long Luther. Walk to Freedom or The Wire.
Watch
which
Luther.
Is better.
You haven't even watched Luther.
You haven't even watched The Wire.
True.
Right. Okay. do you think Christian Bale was ever approached to be Bond? I'm sure he probably was.
I don't think so.
You think if Nolan gets the job for the next Bond director that he's not going to talk to Christopher Nolan?
No, I think it'd be Hugh Dancy. Who was up for Batman against Christian Bale.
And did he win?
No, Christian Bale did.
Oh, all right. Spoiler alert. The reason we bring up Christian Bale is the trailer for his new joint, Out of the Furnace, just came up, and I kind of felt like I needed to take a shower after watching it. Very gritty, very dirty-looking trailer. I think it does a great job of setting up the scene where the movie takes place.
This cast, it could be... It comes off like a throwaway revenge flick, but then you figure Christian Bale, who is an actor, and Casey Affleck, Woody Harrelson, Zoe Saldana. Like, the cast is awesome. Forest Whitaker. The cast is amazing, and it doesn't look like a throwaway revenge. It looks it reminds me a little bit tone-wise of Winter's Bone.
Yeah, I wanted to say that too, in at least the setting. It's in the mountains, it's very rural, and that comes across. It came across wonderfully in Winter's Bone, and I think it comes across really, really well in this trailer. You can almost, I mean, maybe it's just because of where we live in relation, but it seems like you could absolutely see this being a town in Western PA. Like, it looked like towns that I've driven
and
through.
And Woody Harrelson looks methed out.
Yeah, it does.
He looks like an awesome villain. It looks really good because, again, it on the surface, it looks like just typical revenge flick. But then as you dig into it, there's too much talent involved to just be a throwaway movie like that. And it looks like it's going to have a lot to it. So,
Tom Hanks looking like methed out Walt Disney in Saving Mr. Banks. Not really. If there's anybody that I could buy as like a non-racist version of Walt Disney, it would absolutely be Tom Hanks. I think that's incredible casting. It's about the making of Mary Poppins, what Walt Disney had to do to convince whoever it was that wrote that book. Was it J.K. Rowling? Did she write Mary Poppins?
I think so.
Yeah. All right. It's we're pretty sure that J.K. Rowling wrote that. I thought the trailer was kind of neat. It's been a long time since I've seen Mr. Banks, since I've seen Mary Poppins. So the name Mr. Banks meant nothing to me, but at least the trailer kind of says this is why the movie's called Saving Mr. Banks. Thank
no
you.
Colin Farrell in the trailer, though. I'm pretty sure he's in the movie, but it looked good. I mean, this is one that...
Is he playing J.K. Rowling?
I think so. We talked a lot about during the casting because this was one of those that every time they cast somebody, it's like, oh, wow. And
Paul Giamatti.
Ryan from The Office.
Novak?
Yeah, Ryan Novak.
B.J. Novak.
B.J. Novak. It looks okay. Like, it's not the kind of movie that would generally get me out and excited to see it, but it looks enough that I would watch it. I mean, it's of the two Hanks movies coming out between this and Captain Phillips, like Captain Phillips, the trailer surprised me enough that like, oh, I want to see that. This was like, oh, I'll see that. Like, there's not really a lot of need or desire, but it doesn't look terrible by any mean.
Now, our next trailer, I wanted, it was all like, this was on a tee for me to just say, I've been against the Spike Lee Old Boy remake from Jump Street. But I will say this of the trailer. Very faithful to the original, and I guess I'm all right with that. I can see where if you had not seen the original that this would do a great job of piquing your interest. As a trailer, I think it's a very good trailer. And it is pretty violent. It's a Red Band trailer, and it absolutely earns the Red Band. So kudos to you, Mr. Lee.
I've been interested. I think the people in it have had me interested. Good trailer. Like it was
a good trailer.
It didn't change it at all. It looks like it was made more for you than for me. Like it was made with the people in mind that think I don't want Spike Lee to touch this. They're gonna screw it up because you do see some scenes that you see and it's like, oh yeah, that's a good scene, and it shows that they're sticking to it. So I think it was made more to impress people like you than to impress people like me that haven't been against it. Because, I mean, I'm on board regardless. And I think the trailer needed to take the people who were just anti-remake and kind of show them that it's, you know, we're not screwing it up. And I think the trailer leads you to believe that they're not screwing it up.
Like I said, it's very, very faithful to the original, so I don't know that they're going to change anything and screw anything up, but that was never my problem to begin with. I just didn't want this movie remade because I don't need to see the remake. Old Boy is a movie that, as much as I like, you don't ever have to see it again once you see it the first time. I mean, you can. I've seen it a couple times, but I don't know. And especially if they were going to do... If they're going to be as faithful to the originals, it seems they're going to be. I don't need to see this. I know how it ends.
I think they're adding a little bit. I think they're toeing the line between remaking the movie and adapting the manga. Like, it's not a True Grit scenario where they didn't remake True Grit. They just readapted the book.
Yeah.
I think this is kind of the middle ground between the two.
It did look in the trailer that there were some differences that I don't want to point out because I'm afraid that you know, if you haven't seen the movie, it might, if I start pointing things out, that might kind of screw with you. So I'll just try and keep my mouth shut. But I will say this, for a movie that I don't want to see, I still don't want to see, I did think it was a good trailer.
Yeah, I'm on board still.
I do want to like The Seventh Son. I mean, I like me a fantasy movie as much as the next guy. But I'm just not sold on Jeff Bridges in this kind of like old, I'm going to help the young guy kind of role. I mean, it's the same thing he does in RIPD.
It looks like he's playing just the same character.
Yeah, instead of a gun, he's got a sword in this one. And I can't buy him.
Are you familiar with these books? Well,
no.
I'm asking the wrong person that. I don't know anything about these
You mean
books.
Like printed words on a page?
Have you heard of these things called books? This is based on an acclaimed series of novels.
That's what they tell me in the trailer.
But I'm not familiar with it. I want to like it.
Is it the J.K. Rowling books?
Yes, I think so.
Okay,
I think she wrote the Seventh Son series. I like Julianne Moore enough. I like dragons.
Sure.
And the young witch looks hot. I like Ben Barnes. Good for him getting like a big role. But it looks more Aragorn than
Lord
a good
Rings.
Dragon movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it looks more Aragorn than Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
I am familiar
Aragorn,
with the Aragorn books.
That was based on books too, right?
Yeah, there's five of them.
Wasn't they were supposed to do several movies?
Yeah. It was released. I think only two or three of the books were out when it came out, but it didn't do well.
No. Plenty of swords, but in the pork variety, will be on full display in Loveless, which is the Amanda Seyfried biopic of Linda Lovelace, the young woman that you may or may not know from Deep Throat. I have to say, I've seen the documentary Inside Deep Throat, and I find that to be incredibly interesting, how this movie got made and all the characters that are involved. So I think this is a very interesting topic anyway, and I think that Amanda Seyfried is going to be awesome.
She looks amazing. She looks amazing.
An awful lot like Linda Lovelace.
Peter Sarsgaard looks like Morgan Spurlock, but he looks perfect for the role. Hank Azaria, I didn't even recognize the first time. Like, there's so the cast.
Oh, there's Gargamel.
Yeah, the cast is so good. The topic's interesting.
Yeah.
And what I like so much about it is if you watch the trailer, how they filmed it. It looks like it was made in the 70s. Like, it's not this, like, let's make this story but make it look modernized. No, it looks like it was made in the 70s. It's got that grain and that feel to it that I think, you know, along with the wardrobe and everything else going on, I think it'll take you there. And I this is one of those I didn't have any interest in, but the trailer turned me. Like, Seyfried, I think, is going to be, like, I don't know, Oscars maybe? Like, she looks so good in this.
Yeah, she's one that's really good in everything that I've watched her in. And she's not always had the best things to work with, but I think this would be really good. I'm excited to see it. Several months back, we had mentioned that there was going to be another Chucky movie, The Curse of Chucky. And it got a trailer this week for a straight-to-DVD release, and that's always a good sign when something is completely skipping the theaters. But I must admit that I think that this movie looks better than most of the recent Chucky movies
because
that
this
did go to the theater.
This looks like a Child's Play movie.
Yes.
Not a Chucky
movie. Not Bride
movie.
Of Chucky, Seed
Whereas
of Chucky.
Whereas the Bride of Chucky and Seed of Chucky were just goofy, let's take this character and milk him for everything he can get. This looks like it's back to Child's Play, which the first Child's Play, legit horror movie.
Yeah. And this is close to, and I think the director from the original is back. I mean, that would make sense.
I like that the main girl in it, Stephen Dorff's daughter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a cool thing.
Yeah. He's back, of course.
Yeah, what else is he doing?
I don't know. Hanging out at conventions, I guess. But, yeah, straight to DVD. And I want to say, like, in 2-3 weeks. So,
yeah.
Head to Walmart. In a couple.
I mean, I'm over it at this point. It doesn't look good, but it looks a lot better than the previous Chucky movies.
I'll watch it on DVD. Like, I
wish that they would have just named this Child's Play 6
Reboot?
Or whatever. Yeah.
I could live with that. We do have a sequel, not quite the sixth in the series, but it's a teaser, not a full trailer. but about 2 minutes of How to Train Your Dragon 2. And I will say this, outside of Abadar, the movie that I did see in 3D and loved the most, I saw it in IMAX 3D, was How to Train Your Dragon. And the scenes where they were actually flying around on the dragons, it was, I got a little motion sick because it was that good. And this is 2 minutes of what I thought was the best part of that movie.
I've heard the 3D in How to Train Your Dragon was amazing.
Phenomenal.
I regret, I didn't go see How to Train Your Dragon. I slept on How to Train Your Dragon for a long time. Mm. I heard so many good things about it and just didn't watch it until a few months ago. I was blown away. Like, it's a good movie. Like, everything about that movie is good, and I'm excited for the sequel. The teaser doesn't really tell you anything about plot because it's hard to know where it's going to go, like with the way the first one ended. But it's an awesome teaser because it takes you back into that world and reminds you everything that was good about the first one. So I don't even care about plot right now. I'm into it.
Yeah,
I don't. It was an awesome trailer.
Yeah, I don't care either. It's one of those deals where the first one was so good, it was so, you know, well received, that all you had to do was say, hey, we're making a sequel. Check it out. Dragon flying around. Put that in front of, the next child's movie that comes out in 3D, and that's all you're going to need to see is that this teaser in 3D, that'll sell whomever you need to sell. And I could probably say the same thing for our final trailer. Could not do this, despite Dave's asking me not to do it. Last week, about Thursday, I think it was, Twitter kind of melted because of the sci-fi original picture, Sharknado. And I have to admit, it got by the keeper. And we didn't talk about Sharknado last week, but I was not going to make that same mistake for a second consecutive week. So we went back and watched, at least I hope we did. I know I did. Went back and watched the trailer for Tara Reid and Ian Ziering's Sharknado. Essentially, if you have somehow missed what this movie's about, it's about a tornado that takes place on the water, which makes it a water spout, just in case you're interested. This tornado sucks up a bunch of sharks that were swimming away from it and then begins to throw sharks around at random. So you have sharks just falling from the sky and Ian Ziering cutting them in half with a chainsaw.
And not getting a drop of blood on them.
Nope.
I'm over it. I'm done talking about this trailer. You can go on.
I had a conversation yesterday with some folks about camp. They were asking me for a definition of, you know, what camp really is. And I kind of started hem-hawing around, but, well, you know, it's, you know, movies that are kind of self-aware, they're goofy, but they know that they're goofy, and that's kind of what they're going for. They're in on the joke. I feel like Sharknado is a great example of that. Obviously, Ian Ziering not getting blood on him. The CG in it's so bad. The idea in and of itself is completely ridiculous.
The tagline is just, enough said.
Yep, exactly. And I applaud the people at Sci-Fi because they know if they legitimately try and make a good movie, they're going to fall short.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I step up to defend Tyler Perry all the time because I'll never criticize somebody who finds a formula and knows how to make it work and sticks with it. Tyler Perry does that. It works for him. James Wan does that. It works for him. Sci-Fi does that. I don't have interest in it. I don't care about it, but good for them. Like, I won't criticize them, but they know what they're doing.
And I do. I mean, I love me some Mega Python versus Gatoroid. And this one, I'm pissed that I missed, but I'm sure I will have my chance to see it again. And you'll have your chance to see the sequel because they are already working on Sharknado 2. So apparently whatever solution that Ian Ziering and Tara Reid can put their collective brain power together to come up with is not. I think in the trailer, the one guy's like, we're going to throw dynamite into the tornado. I mean, come on. Come on. Enough said, right? Sharknado.
Too much said.
No. Just exactly enough. You could stay home and watch Sharknado, which I'm sure will be on television again this weekend. Or you could head out to the theaters, watch the aforementioned Dude. It's starring with Deadpool in RIPD. You can check out James Wan's new joint, The Conjuring, or you can watch Red 2 or Turbo, which will be out on Wednesday.
This is a very incestuous weekend. Turbo comes out Wednesday starring Ryan Reynolds. RIPD comes out Friday, starring Ryan Reynolds
and Mary Louise Parker,
who was also in Red 2, the sequel to the movie directed by the director of RIPD. So,
and then there's The Conjuring.
And then The Conjuring. 1 through 4, what comes in the highest of these four?
Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm going to go...
Just the three-day weekend, so forget Wednesday and Thursday for Turbo.
Yeah, but I still feel like I'm going to go Turbo because it's a kids' movie. I don't know.
Despicable Me too. I don't think it's... I think... Yeah. Okay, give me your top four.
Out of these?
Yeah.
I would go Turbo, Red 2, Conjuring, and RIPD.
I'm going to go way opposite. I'm going to say The Conjuring, RIPD, Turbo, Red 2. It'll be interesting.
Dude, is it going to really be interesting? I mean, I don't care.
Do any of these four movies open number one?
No. I don't think so. I mean, I don't think...
I think you're talking in the 25 to 30 range for the weekend for all of these. Or the 20 to 25 range, more likely.
Each.
Yeah. With one probably falling way behind.
Yeah, I think that's more likely. I don't know. And I don't care. I really
don't
care.
It's a weird week.
I don't want to see any of these. I'm just pissed off from last week. Screw you, box office.
Yeah, screw you, people. Movie going public. Go see Pacific Rim. I would be ecstatic if Pacific Rim is number one at the box office this weekend.
It would be like a giant mea culpa. Like, okay, we're sorry. So everybody that bought a ticket for Grown Ups 2 last week, you owe us. Go see Pacific Rim.
If Pacific Rim was number one, that would be amazing. Pacific Rim, Despicable Me 2, then whatever I said, Conjuring.
Then the things that I said. And all not in the top 10 was Grown Ups 2. If you're not as excited about seeing any of those movies in the theater, I can't really blame you. But we've got a couple exciting ones on DVD this week. 42 Erased, that's the Aaron Eckhart movie. Evil Dead and Bullet to the Head, that's the Sly one.
Stallone and Sarah Shahi.
And Jason Momoa.
42 looks good.
Yeah.
Erased was decent. I saw Erased and I liked it.
Yeah, it's been out for a while overseas.
Yeah, and Evil Dead was Evil Dead. Like, it was good, so.
Yeah.
It's a good week, considering it's been a lot of weeks.
Sure. Okay, why don't you give the folks something else to watch? The DVDs, there is a good lineup of DVDs, but just in case the folks can't get around to the video store.
If you want to see some good acting, you can check out Charlie Hunnam from Pacific Rim acting alongside Elijah Wood in 2005's Green Street Hooligans.
Yeah, soccer movie.
Yeah, Elijah. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, definitely.
Elijah Wood flunks out of Harvard and goes over to London and experiences soccer hooliganism. So with Charlie Hunnam, which cool movie. Charlie Hunnam's a top-notch actor. Which is on display in Pacific Rim.
Yeah, that is absolutely on display. I referenced a movie a bit earlier when we were talking about the zombie Nazi movie. And kind of the first one that comes to mind is Dead Snow from 2009, directed by Tommy Wirkola, who did this year's Hansel and Gretel witch hunters, whatever hunters they were hunting. The plot is kind of weak, to say the least. These folks just go for a skiing vacation, find some gold, some buried Nazi gold, and they take it, which incites these zombies, Nazi zombies, to rise from the snow to try and get their gold back. So it's a little bit like Night of the Living Dead meets Leprechaun, I guess, because they just really want to know where the gold at. And that's really all they want. But I thought the gore in it is pretty good. It's absolutely a foreign movie. I don't know what Scandinavian country it's from. It's some country that doesn't speak English. So, I mean, that could be Canada, England, whatever. But obviously the movie was received well enough that Wirkola got a shot here in the U.S. with Hansel and Gretel, which I still haven't seen yet. I've heard it's relatively entertaining.
It's a movie.
It is a movie. But I feel like Dead Snow is actually a pretty entertaining movie. I did like it. Acting is not great, but who cares when you're acting against Nazi zombies? Doesn't really matter. Blood's good, though.
We got an announcement about movies on Up to Make right now.
This is our last episode?
No. Format change. For those of you that have been with us from the beginning, for the first, I don't know, 40-some weeks.
Episode one.
Yeah, from episode one through 40-some. We were one episode where we did news and trailers and a discussion topic. Then we switched to two episodes with news and trailers like this episode is, and discussion episodes. As of next week, we have one more news and trailer episode, and then after that, there will be no more news and trailer episodes. So for the few of you that listen to this, next week is going to be the last news and trailers episode, but we're still going to do two episodes a week.
But how are we going to do that?
Occasionally, like this week, sometimes our discussion episode is where we watch a movie and discuss it. This week is Insidious. Well, starting 2 weeks from now, we're going to watch a movie every week and discuss it. That'll be your early week episode. And then later in the week, we'll do our typical, our favorite so-and-so movies and do a list that way.
Our favorite James Wan movies.
Yeah. So there'll still be two episodes. They're just going to be a little different. We're going to do away with news and trailers. As an exchange for that, we are going to try to get more active on the Twitter, the Facebook, the blog. I'll probably tweet some news as I see fit and blog about some trailers. And we are going to try to get that blog up and going a little bit more with articles. This kind of forces us to.
Big changes coming to movies on up and to news specifically. And I think it's more a response in terms of our listenership seems to be very solidly in the corner of our discussion episodes. And we like doing them, so that's cool. For those of you that really enjoy the news, thanks for listening. We do appreciate that as well. You know, you'll still get some news and some opinions from us. It'll just come in a different format, either a blog post or if there's enough big things that happen in a month, you know, we might do one news episode a month if it's warranted, but it definitely won't be a weekly thing anymore.
Yeah. And I mean, anybody that's been there and has been through all the incarnations, we appreciate it. Like, we're just constantly trying to make the show as good as it can be. And I think the first change we made, making it two episodes, worked incredibly well. And I think this one will too. It'll be a little bit more work. It takes longer to watch a movie than it does to make our outline, but it'll be a lot of fun. So contact us. Like, let us know. If there's movies you want us to watch, let us know.
Because now we have to do one a week.
I'm going to try to throw up a calendar on the website to where you can see what we're doing a month ahead of time. And maybe, you know, if we're going to do a movie you haven't seen, you can seek it out and watch it in time. So I think it'll be a fun little change, and I'm excited to get there. Just we have one more stupid week of these news episodes.
Which will be probably
it'll just be all San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah, which that's why we're not.
That's why it's after next week.
Yeah, because I think Dave wanted to suffocate the news episode in its sleep this week. But yeah, we'll have one more episode. It will be Comic Con, and that'll be kind of a good way to say adios, amigo, for our news episodes. But as Dave mentioned before, our second episode this week will be a discussion of Insidious, where Dave's going to get a red face and probably spit all over the place because he loves that movie so much. We are doing that, obviously, because James Wan's new joint, The Conjuring, coming out in theaters this week. So our ode to James Wan and spooky-type movies that aren't Saw. That'll be up later on this week. Anything else, Dave?
No, just hit us up, facebook.com/moviesonup, Twitter @moviesonup. moviesonup@gmail.com. get a hold of us. You can find me personally at Dave Bacella on the Twitter. I think that's it. We got to go watch Insidious now, and until we talk about it,
keep it up.